This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 256 for the weekend of February 26th through February 28th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, where we talk about movies and some other stuff as we feel like it. So, Art, how's it going?
It is going very well. I am 2.5 weeks into 3 weeks off. I've been getting a lot of stuff done. I've been enjoying my time off, spending a lot of daddy-daughter time. It has been going very, very well. And I am going to be sad to be going back to work on Monday. But for now, I am enjoying it.
Well, good. I am still working at the salt mine, so I'm jealous, mister. All right. So, first part of the show is usually I try to come up with some witty segue into the box office results, but I'm just not doing it this week. So, here's the box office results for last weekend, which was February 19th through the February 21st. At number one, we have the second week of Deadpool at $56.5 million. At number two, we have Kung Fu Panda 3 at $12.5 million. At number three, we have new release Risen at $11.8. You were probably hoping it was Risen a little bit more. At number four, we have The Witch at $8.8 million. And at number five, How to Be Single at $8.2 million. And there's your top five. A little surprised that Race about, I just forgot his name, Jesse Owens, I think his name. Just missed it with $7.3 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, not just missed, almost $1 million behind How to Be Single. What I think is funny is Deadpool and Kung Fu Panda just dominating the last 2 weeks. Kung Fu Panda is now 4 weeks out and still holding the number two spot. I saw the top of the page for Deadpool. Deadpool's getting ready to cross $500 million.
Oh yeah,
in just 2 weeks. So that is that's really nice and good. And yeah,
it's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, R-rated and just crushing it because it should be.
The thing about Deadpool is that they kind of had a left of center marketing campaign, and they didn't they didn't hit you over the head with trailer.
No.
Which is a play out of Disney's, I guess, playbook. But between, you know, the self-examination PSAs that they did, in addition to the Deadpool Happy Australia Day commercial that floated around.
I think their viral marketing was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that they put out, just on like the, I mean, cause I felt like he was just everywhere on mm-hmm. Facebook and social media, you know, and very much in character stuff. Just a lot of funny videos, a lot of funny stuff that Ryan Reynolds participated in. So it was left to center, but it was very, very prevalent and very prominent. Pervasive even.
Yeah, pervasive even. Well, look at you with the language. Okay.
Look at all them P words.
Yes. All right. I think that's why they have pop filters. Okay. Yes. All right. So I think we're done talking about Deadpool and the box office results for last week. And so now let's mosey on over to what's happening this weekend. More specifically, new movies that are coming out. So Art, why don't you tell us about the first of three new releases?
Okay. The first release we are going to talk about is Eddie the Eagle. Sorry, my screen just locked up.
Here, why don't I run through this one? You pick up the next two.
Okay.
We're waiting here. All right. So, like Art said, Eddie the Eagle is currently 74% on the tomato meter. Out of 27 reviews, we have 20 fresh and 7 rotten. And out of the 7,402 Rotten Tomatoes users, 91% want to see it. So here's the description. Inspired by true events, Eddie the Eagle is a feel-good story about Michael Eddie Edwards, played by Taron Egerton, a unlikely but courageous British ski jumper who never stopped believing in himself, even as an entire nation was counting him out. With the help of a rebellious and charismatic coach, played by Hugh Jackman, Eddie takes on the establishment and wins the hearts of sports fans around the world by making an improbable and historic showing at the 1988 Calgary Winter Olympics. From the producers of Kingsman, : The Secret Service, Eddie the Eagle stars again, Taron Egerton, as Eddie, the lovable underdog with a never-say-die attitude. This is PG-13 for some suggestive material, partial nudity, and smoking. This is a drama written by Sean McCauley and Simon Kelton, directed by Dexter Fletcher, and the running time is 1 hour and 45 minutes. And one additional cast member that you might want to know about that I haven't mentioned yet, Christopher Walken.
Nice.
So I will say that my mom was unexpectedly excited about seeing this movie, because I guess this was a story that she kind of followed when she was younger. And I said, well, who is this guy?
You don't remember this?
I don't remember this.
Wow, I totally remember this. I don't know if I was just at the right age or what, but I remember Eddie the Eagle and the 88 Olympics. I mean, that would have made me 15?
88? What year were you born?
In 73, so 15. Yeah. 15 in the winter.
I was 18, so I had other things.
So, yeah, you had other things on your mind. Yeah, I was 15 and a freshman in high school and not getting anywhere. I could see that.
ABC had The Wild World of Sports, and I guess they had the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And when they hit the defeat, they showed him wiping out on the ski jump.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's my only reference to this chap.
Right.
So I'll probably watch it on when it comes to regular TV, but I don't know if I'll see it in the theater.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. I mean, it's not anything that's going to draw me out to the theater, but it's definitely something I remember, from that time period and being an interesting, human interest story of the time. I don't know. It left a mark as someone who doesn't really watch sports. It's something that I remember. And so that's what kind of piques my interest. But yeah, I won't be going out of my way to see it either.
All right. So the choice review, we're going to go with a rotten one from Stephen Witte from New York Daily News. Hugh Jackman doesn't play Wolverine in Eddie the Eagle, which is too bad. The film deserves to be slashed to bits. All right. So, okay, let's move on to the next movie there.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's double down. So we have Gods of Egypt. It is currently has no rating on the tomato meter. 92% want to see it. In this spectacular action adventure inspired by the classic mythology of Egypt, the survival of mankind hangs in the balance as an unexpected mortal hero, Beck, Brenton Thwaites, undertakes a thrilling journey to save the world and rescue his true love. In order to succeed, he must enlist the help of the powerful god Horus, Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, in an unlikely alliance against Set, Gerard Butler, the merciless god of darkness, who has usurped Egypt's throne, plunged the once peaceful and prosperous empire into chaos and conflict as their breathtaking battle against Set and his henchmen. Are you serious? I'm having nothing but trouble here. There we go. Set and his henchmen takes them into the afterlife and across the heavens. Both god and mortal must pass tests of courage and sacrifice if they hope to prevail in this epic final confrontation. Rated PG-13 for fantasy, violence, and action, and some sexuality. Genre is action and adventure, science fiction, fantasy. Directed by Alex Proyas. Written by Burke Sharpless and Matt Sazama. And it's going to cost you 2 hours and 7 minutes. We have Gerard Butler, Rufus Sewell, Brenton Thwaites, Chadwick Boseman, Jeffrey Rush. There was a lot of names here, and I'm not seeing anybody else of interest. Anybody catches your eye?
No. I think you hit them all, and I was just looking up the director, and I guess this is he's directed some movies, but his last good one was Dark City.
Dark City is a good movie.
Yeah.
But that was like lightning in a bottle, right? Especially if that was his last good one. I saw the trailer for this. It looks interesting. It looks like Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, what was that other epic one? Like 10,000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things that could go either way. The newest Conan, you know, it's got good visual effects, lots of monsters and giant things crushing things and exploding things.
Yeah, it feels like we didn't need another movie in this genre.
Okay.
You know, even though I always love the chance to leverage my knowledge of the deities and demigods from first edition D&D.
Nice.
That's my only entry point into knowing who, you know, Set and Ra
and Horus.
Thoth and Ortoth and Horus and
Okay, are you looking at the
I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes page right now.
Right, but I meant the image of the poster.
Mm-hmm.
The movie poster. Does the guy on the left look like Bono to you, or is it just me?
I could see that. I can see that. And speaking of, I was almost wondering, is this like another Stargate movie?
Yeah, I see that too. Mm-hmm. Egypt. Yeah, giant ring. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
No James Spader though.
But it's got Gerard Butler. I mean, that's I like him. But this is another one I won't be going to see. I'll catch this at some point when it's on Netflix or cable or something. But in the theater, no.
All right, so why don't we go to the last one?
Yes, let's finish up here. All right, and then last but not least, we are talking about 999. Yeah, I think all these tabs I have open are just killing me, and I'll get to that later. All right, 999. 61% fresh on the tomato meter. 94% want to see it. In 999, a crew of dirty cops is blackmailed by the Russian mob to execute a virtually impossible heist. The only way to pull it off is to manufacture a 999, police code for Officer Down. Their plan is turned upside down when the unsuspecting rookie they set up to die foils their attack, triggering a breakneck action-packed finale tangled with double crosses, greed, and revenge. Rated R for strong violence and language throughout, drug use, and some nudity. Genre, drama, action, and adventure. Directed by John Hillcoat. Written by Matt Cook. Runtime, 1 hour and 55 minutes. We have Casey Affleck, Aaron Paul, Teresa Palmer, Kate Winslet, Woody Harrelson, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Gal Gadot, Anthony Mackie, Norman Reedus, Michael K. Williams.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I recognize. With the exception of Michael K. Williams, I know who I've seen everyone.
Oh, I know him. You know what? I'm just going to click it and
pray.
No, I recognize him. And he was also in 12 Years a Slave.
Inherent Vice, Bessie, Captives.
Gone Baby Gone.
Kill the Messenger, RoboCop. The redone RoboCop.
Right. Yes, that's where I recognize him from. I'm like, I know his face. I enjoyed the redone RoboCop.
Yeah, I haven't got around seeing it yet.
Well, okay. In hindsight, I enjoyed it. At the time, I think I felt like it was too much of the movie was squished in at the end, if I remember, now that I'm thinking about it. Overall, I enjoyed it, but I was like, it's like it could have spread it out a little more. But anyway, but yeah, that's where I absolutely recognized it from, was he was RoboCop. Or he was in RoboCop.
Yeah, so the choice review blurb for Savage Worlds Players. This is superior hard-boiled pulp from Adrian Mack from Georgia Strait, which I don't know if that's a magazine, newspaper, or what. But I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Yeah, no,
This is another, when it hits TV, maybe.
Yeah, it's not really my genre. Police drama, action.
Again, I'm just impressed by the cast.
Yes, very much so.
I almost want to look at this director. Lawless, The Road, The Proposition. Interesting. All right, so that will wrap up this little segment we like to call What's Coming Out in the Theaters This Weekend. And now let's move on over to share time. So this is where Art and myself share what we've been up to, usually over the past week. But since we missed a recording last week, now it covers 2 weeks. So, Art, what'd you watch?
So, I did not watch Daredevil. I wanted to go. I made plans to go, and then those plans fell apart.
You meant to say Deadpool, right?
Deadpool. Yeah. I said Daredevil. I've got Daredevil on the brain. That will come up later. Deadpool. So, I am probably going to go this weekend. Brittany was at first going to go with me, and then she backed out. And she's like, I'll go. And then I'm like, okay, let's go. And she's like, no, I don't want to go. I changed my mind. I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to go. I'll fly solo. But then it had to be a different day. So I did not see Deadpool. I did, on top of the books in the bedroom, Hi. So, I did watch. I'm still tearing through Justice League. Still loving every minute of it. That's kind of like my go-to. When I have extra time, that's what I'm watching. I watched. There was a old DreamWorks cartoon called Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
I am familiar with it.
Yeah, and so Aubrey saw it, had horses on it. She loves horses. So we actually watched all of that. I actually enjoyed it very much. I watch movies like that that deal with that time period, you know, with the West and you know, they deal with Indian culture and the clashing of, you know, the white man coming to tame the Wild West. And, it, you know, it had some very strong visuals and messages and different things about progress. And there's a certain sadness with coming that knowing that, you know, for however heroic they make that moment in time, in the end, you know, the West was won, that culture was crushed and spread out and, you know, destroyed and dismantled in a lot of ways. And so there's a bittersweetness to watching a movie like that, even when it has a happy ending. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And I'm trying to think, I don't think I've watched anything else in the last 2 weeks because we have been getting out of the house. It has been last week. It was in the 70s every day except Friday because Friday was in the 80s. So, yeah, there's not been a lot of sitting and watching TV. And which is fine. Sometimes you take a vacation and you veg out and you get stuff done. Sometimes you take a vacation, you don't sit in front of the TV at all. You're getting out the house and you're doing other things. So we got that day when it hit 80, we went and got in the pool. We were only in the pool for about half an hour. And the water was a little chilly, but Aubrey loved it. And it's crazy to think I went swimming in February in the outdoor pool at my apartment complex. So yeah, a lot of moving, shaking going on, but not so much with the watching of stuff. So yeah, that's about it on my end. What have you got, sir?
Well, I did see Deadpool.
Tell me about it.
What can I say? Or
you can say whatever you want. I'm going to see it no matter what. And you know, it's not, I mean,
because there was two facets of the movie that I was, you know, that I was interested in seeing. I, you know, first off is, you know, how enjoyable a movie it is.
Right.
And second of all, can I even think about taking my son to this movie?
Okay.
And so, like, would I let my son at the age he's at now watch Kick-Ass? Right. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. And I'll probably tackle the second one first. That, you know, I don't think there's any way that I'll be taking my son or let him watch this for a couple years because it's not so much the violence. He'd probably, you know, the violence is there's a lot of sex humor and a lot of masturbation jokes.
Okay.
Which I don't want to, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to learn about that from me, or I don't want to learn how much exactly he knows. You know, he's kind of at that age. He's kind of at that age kind of thing. Anyways.
Is he 12?
He's 12.
Okay, I just want to make sure he's I was 12, remembering but correctly.
He's a naive 12.
Yeah, no.
He's a naive 12. Yeah, yeah. So anyways, Deadpool is a fantastic movie. I will dare say that is the funniest movie with a superhero I've seen.
Wow, that is quite a statement.
And I don't really, I mean, because obviously the yardstick for comparison is Guardians of the Galaxy for me.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
No other movie comes close.
I was just gonna say Guardians. Yeah.
But it is infused with so much Ryan Reynolds that I mean I found myself laughing during or you know through most of the jokes.
Right.
You know the second the middle act gets very heavy with the whole cancer stuff.
Right.
Which you knew. I mean, nothing was really shocking. You knew that's what the story was, you know, right. The turn it was going to take.
Yeah.
But I can't remember almost wetting myself in a movie.
Nice.
And as usual, I will wait until you see it and we'll talk if you had the same reaction at the same point in the movie.
Okay.
Oh my God. Ryan Reynolds and TJ need to do more movies together. And by TJ, I mean TJ Miller.
TJ Miller.
Oh, the one and only TJ Miller. My gosh. I want to hear more of, you know, because I'm sure that they ad-libbed almost every scene that they were in together.
Right. I have grown to have a real appreciation for TJ Miller with thanks to you turning on to cashing in with TJ Miller.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I really enjoy his humor. I enjoy Ryan Reynolds when he's on, everything I've seen, he seems to be completely on and all in with this character. And yeah, so I really want to see this. I really wanted to make time for it. I will see this in the theater before it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more value you're going to get by seeing it in a theater, but
I want to. I seeing it in the theater. B, you know, supporting a movie that I think is doing things right. You know, so
yeah, I went the preview night, so it was all comic book fans. It was kind of like watching The Hangover for the first time, you know, because everyone was laughing.
Right.
But it is refreshing to be able to sit and watch a superhero movie and not having to catch something because they're going to pay it off in the next movie, or like this is going to set up the story for the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
It was just a self-contained fun movie, but you know, you do see cracks at some points in the movie because you know it's kind of, they released the story that Fox told them they needed to cut money, so there aren't as many action scenes as they were supposed to be in the movie. And if you've seen the trailer, the girl, the sidekick for Colossus is basically Cannonball, but they decided to use someone else. Because they were trying to save money. And I guess it was going to cost more money if they put Cannonball in it.
Cannonball is a visually intense superhero.
Right. Well, the main reason they didn't want him was he's a hick. He's from the South. And they wanted the sullen teenage girl character.
Okay.
So, you know, so they basically gave her a version of Cannonball's superpower. Because the girl from the comics, I guess she's a psychic or she's like has mental powers kind of thing. So anyways, I just had a lot of fun. It's always nice seeing Marina Baccarin on screen.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about this movie. But as usual, now everything is going to feels like everything's going to copycat this now. They're saying that Wolverine 3 is going to be R, even though they're saying with a wink, oh, we were going to do that before Deadpool. But considering this movie killed it Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Because it could have done just as well during the summer, I think. I don't know.
It would have done those numbers anytime you released it, because the people who went to see it were going to go see it.
But it is refreshing to see, you know, not Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Disney actually make a lot of money with make a lot of money at the box office.
Right. So. Well, Fox is doing well. I mean, the X-Men movies make money. They've done very well. It's Sony who's bleeding money with Spider-Man.
I understand that. But what I was saying is, you know, you're going to have a built-in audience for X-Men.
Right.
Deadpool is kind of a fringe comic.
Yeah.
Right? And you're not, you know, you're not...
Average, before this movie...
He's not a franchise.
Right. Before this movie, average man on the street, you say, who's Deadpool? They say, Dead who?
Right.
No, that's 100% true.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, even, you know, before this movie hit, I was more familiar with Deathstroke than Deadpool.
Right.
And I'm a Marvel guy, you know, so...
And maybe it's just timing, because after all of the, you know, the super serious Batmans and, you know, the Marvel movies are getting serious, you know, factor out Guardians of the Galaxy and maybe to a minor point Ant-Man. This is just a refreshing movie, plain and simple.
Yeah.
And it was just fun, and there's no, like I said, it's not going to connect to a trilogy or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it is now $500 million dollars.
No, I know. And he actually, yeah. And if you do go, stay after the credits.
okay.
All right. So, yeah, Deadpool. Go see it if you are able. Okay. What did I watch? Any other movies? Nah, I didn't really watch any movies. Through the peer pressure at work, I'm starting to catch back up on Walking Dead. And I'm reminded on why I watch the show. And I just... Over the past couple of days, I've talked to two separate people that, you know, that nitpick and say, you know, you can't believe you're doing this and that kind of thing. And I'm saying, well, you know, it's a TV show. Right. No one on the show should even be alive.
Right.
You really think about it. I don't even know how many episodes they're into, but they've got to be over 125.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it.
Did you see the Karl Papa rap video?
No. My next thing I'm going to watch as soon as the podcast is over is, I guess there was a big chase scene in last week's episode and someone set it to the Benny Hill music.
Nice. Yakety so. Sax.
yeah. So yeah,
that was a song before it was the Benny Hill theme. The song is Yakety Sax. So yeah, well, anyway.
All right. All right. We hit another sore spot. All right.
I'm just giving you the reference, sir.
No, I understand. You're alluding to more than the average person's knowledge of one song. Okay.
Okay. All right. I am.
So if I'm at trivia night and that comes up, I know who to call.
You know. Yeah. Well, you know the answer now.
Yeah.
You won't just say the Benny Hill thing. You'll say Yakety Sax.
All right. Good. I'm fine with that. Okay.
Anyway. And you know what? I'm probably wrong. You know, who knows? I could be completely off base here and just run in my mouth and I got nothing and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, no, the Karl Papa is an edit of a bunch of scenes of Carl from Walking Dead, but doing like a rap song. And it was pretty funny. I laughed at when he rhymes apocalypse. So if you go want to hear a rhyme for apocalypse, go watch the Karl Papa rap Walking Dead video. I definitely put it in my feed. I shared it. But anyway, because you said you see all my stuff because I share, like, you know, everything.
And the only other show really worth talking about is that Superstore, which is a sitcom on NBC on Mondays at 8, just ended their season. And, you know, they kind of ended like, yeah, that could be it for them. But I guess they got renewed for another season. So. So we're all happy about that. And that's all I really can really report about because I don't remember anything else I watched.
Okay. All
right. So now let's move over to news. And Art, what do you have for us?
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is they are talking about a third remake of The Thomas Crown Affair. So I like Thomas Crown Affair. I saw the Pierce Brosnan version first,
mm-hmm.
The middle one. And then I went back and after watching that one, really enjoying it, tracked down the Steve McQueen Thomas Crown Affair, which I also enjoyed very much. So they are talking about now a third one, and they are talking about Michael B. Jordan for the lead role.
Interesting.
Yes. I don't know what I think about that casting because there's just been a certain air of maturity with the previous two castings, Steve McQueen and Pierce Brosnan. And this was a later, you know, Pierce Brosnan. So I don't know what I think about this, but it doesn't really matter because this is like the earliest possible stages for this. This is MGM is kind of moving forward with this. And at this point, they have two things. They have the idea, let's remake the Thomas Crown Affair. And they have the idea, let's get Michael B. Jordan to be in it. So I have no idea if this is going anywhere. This is super early rumor speculation. But I just thought it was interesting because I did enjoy the first two Thomas Crown Affairs.
All right. So I have a celebrity review of Deadpool. This comes, pause for dramatic effect, from a 94-year-old woman.
Nice.
Betty White.
Nice.
She was in the movie The Proposal with Mr. Reynolds. And so this is what she wrote on her Facebook. I just saw the most anticipated movie of the year, Deadpool. It was glorious. Once in a generation, a movie comes along that your whole family will love. If your family is a screwed up bunch of French kissing inbreds. Plus, nice. Ryan Reynolds is so effing handsome in his red leather suit. So, yeah. So, for the first time ever, myself and Betty White agree. Go see Deadpool.
Go see Deadpool.
All right. Art,
for the first time ever, Betty White's pretty funny.
I'm agreeing.
Oh, okay. With me. Right, but I'm saying, she's agreeing. Oh, for the first time ever, she's agreeing with you.
Yes,
okay.
That's it.
I'm gonna say I agree with Betty White quite often. Yes, she does not often agree with me, being as she doesn't have any idea who I am.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Yes, now I follow, sir. I'm a little slow on the uptake tonight. Okay, Disney and Ava DuVernay are bringing a sci-fi classic back to life. So. Do you know who Ava DuVernay is?
No, I do not.
Okay, she's a director. They were talking about getting her for possibly Black Panther. And she's also going to be working with Lupita Nyong'o on a movie called Intelligent Life as her next project. But the thing they are bringing back to life is A Wrinkle in Time. Are you familiar with this children's classic? Because I certainly am.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell. Okay, this Please was... continue. I will. 1966 is when the... 63 is when the movie came out. They actually did a television adaptation back in 2003, and it was terrible. This book is much beloved. It's a trilogy, A Wrinkle in Time, A Swiftly Tilting Planet, and I am blanking on the third book. But anyway, I had the book. And my wife was my ex-wife was a huge fan of it. And it was the photo they were using for the cover of the tagline of the story. And so that's why I saw the picture, and I'm like, what is that picture from? I know that picture. And then when I opened it up and saw that they're working on A Wrinkle in Time, and hopefully with it getting a big budget Disney release, it will be well done and well received. So we could have another big trilogy on our hands. Like I said, this was loved by a lot of kids back in the day and people who are now adults and go to see movies.
Very good. All right. Well, the Oscars are Sunday. So I just thought I'd review on some of the awards that, you know, because to be honest, I really don't have a lot of, excuse me, I don't have a lot of interest in like best picture or best actor, you know, not even animated feature film, because the only one, I haven't seen any of them, but considering you've seen it so many times, how can I not root for Inside Out?
Right.
And I'm also rooting for Inside Out because, you know, not a whole lot of animated films that are nominated for original screenplay, or they don't get nominated a lot for original screenplay. And you know, the five nominees are Bridge of Spies, Ex Machina, Inside Out, Spotlight, and Straight Outta Compton. So that's another thing I'm rooting for. And then, you know, there's a litany of nominations for Star Wars, but that's mainly the, you know, the effect categories or the sound category, sound awards. But the only other thing I'm really looking forward to, or not really looking forward to, but the thing I'm going to be watching is that, you know, John Williams got nominated again for Star Wars Force Awakens, but he's going up against Ennio Morricone, who I don't think has ever won, and he's done, it seems like, a million Western film scores, but he's nominated for Hateful Eight.
Okay.
And I'd love for Mr. Williams to get another one, but, you know, Marconi's like, I think he's in his 80s. So hopefully an old guy wins, is basically what I'm saying.
Go old guys.
Yes. All right, what you got next?
Okay. Pacific Rim 2 is back, but with a major change. So we thought this one had gone off to die, given up hope of ever seeing the kaiju and Jaegers from Pacific Rim. But they have risen from the dust and put back on the active roster of Legendary Pictures. But the thing that has it moving again is Guillermo del Toro is stepping down from the director's chair and is going to be moving into a producer's chair. But he was involved in picking the replacement. And in moving to the director's chair is Stephen S. DeKnight. I was going to say, do you recognize that name? Because you are the person who usually knows who the showrunners are.
He did season one Daredevil.
Yes.
And he also did Spartacus on Starz.
I was not aware of Spartacus.
Which was very good.
Yes. Okay. So that has me even more excited because he has a good pedigree. Now, those are both his showrunner positions, but that's sort of similar from your opinion. We've talked about this before where the showrunner really has a big hand in how the show is going. So how do you feel about that as somebody who's knows a little more on that side of things?
I think this is a natural progression, you know, from going from showrunner to being director because, it's kind of a different thing. Showrunner, you're kind of pulling, the writing crews together.
Okay. Overall big picture stuff.
Yeah, kind of. And overall big picture stuff. And, the director kind of does, usually when he gets involved, I think the script is already done.
Right.
Kind of thing. So.
Okay.
It'll be good. It'll be good to see how he does because I think this is the first time he's directed a feature.
Okay.
So, I'm excited.
I am excited to see it back up and running. I'm excited to see somebody who's been involved in a couple of properties that I really enjoy taking up the director's chair. So that is the word on that.
All right. Are you ready for something we've never talked about?
Okay. Hit me.
Have you ever heard DC Comics and comedy in the same sentence?
No.
Okay, apparently NBC is putting together a show called Powerless, and they already have Vanessa Hudgens playing the main character, and they're also adding Danny Pudi from Community and Alan Tudyk.
Really?
Yeah. So the description of the show, as soon as I could find it, I just had it. Oh, here we go. This single-camera workplace comedy is set at one of the worst insurance companies in America, with the twist that it also takes place in the universe of DC Comics. The project is about the reality of working life for a normal, powerless person in a world of superheroes and villains. Hudgens stars as Emily Locke, an insurance claims adjuster who finds herself increasingly exasperated by the disruptive antics of the various superheroes that proliferate in her city. Tudyk is set to play Dale, Emily's new boss in the claims department. Dale has just been promoted, not through any merit of his own, but because he's the owner's son. A self-proclaimed rich, overeducated, globe-trotting wastrel, Dale is a power-mad, disastrous dictator of a boss.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and not something we've seen before, but...
No.
And it ended up on NBC. So DC's all over the place.
Okay, Powerless. I'm interested.
Yeah, there's no information on if they're going to start shooting the pilot. I think they're still trying to get the cast together. But anyways, all right, what you got next?
Okay, so we often talk about these things, and new on Netflix that just started coming up this month. So there were some real hits in here. There's some new original series coming to Netflix, including Judd Apatow's Love, starring Paul Rust and Jillian Jacobs, Fuller mm-hmm. House, which we had talked about before, mm-hmm. And then Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, a sequel to the 2000 Oscar-winning Ang Lee movie. Catch up on the first season of Better Call Saul, the final season of Men. Armageddon, Charlie's Angels, Collateral Damage, Cruel Intentions. There's some good movies on here. Jennifer 8, the two Scooby-Doo movies, the live action.
Okay, now I'm listening. Go ahead.
Sin City, Star Trek 5, Stardust, which I totally enjoy.
Yeah.
and love. I think that's where that was going. Enjoy, love, and dove. Talladega Nights. I am such not a fan of Will Ferrell in his comedies, and yet so many people really enjoy this movie. So I think maybe I should check it out. Let's see. I Love You, Philip Morris. I need to see that.
Yeah, I heard that's good.
And I think that's about it that really caught my eye.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't Backseat Producers review that movie? I Love You, Philip Morris?
Probably.
Here, let me get it.
Yes, but you know, there's a lot of good stuff that started up this month. Go check it out.
Yeah, I don't think they did. All right. So I'm actually out of news stories. So, Art, what do you have left?
Okay, well, I have the last thing I want to talk about. Okay. So 10 great movies to watch before Netflix gets rid of them in March. So we just talked about a bunch of movies that are coming to Netflix. And, you know, that was one page. It was one page that had all the information right there. And there were way more than 10 things on that list. So we're at Cinema Blend and 10 great movies to watch before Netflix gets rid of them. And each movie is on a different page. The clickbait is killing me. I have 10 extra tabs here that I don't need to have open just because you can't put all the information on one page. Isn't it enough that I go? You know, I get most of my news from Cinema Blend. There should be some type of thing where it's like, oh, this guy comes here all the time. Let's cut him some slack. Let's give him a page with all the information on it just once. You know, I mean, I don't really feel like I'm asking for that much. And then I go through this list. It's not really a good list. These are not great movies. I was sorely disappointed in some of these movies. I ended up finding about 3 that I think I would recommend. But I still have to go back through all these tabs to find them because, you know, they're just all in there. I mean, it's a terrible list. Not even going to talk about it. Master of the Universe is going away, and I have not rewatched this. I really, really have intended to ever since they did it on How Did This Get Made? I mean, I watched it when it came out in theaters. I watched it every time I catch it on cable, but I want to rewatch it again in its entirety before it goes away. Monster Squad is on the list. And that's going away. And that's just an absolute classic. I saw that when it first came out, and I just loved it as a much younger person. Let's see, what else is on here? Like I said, I think there were about 3. Side Effects is on the list. I saw it. I really didn't enjoy it. I don't really classify that as a great movie. There is a movie, David Cronenberg's Cosmopolis. I know Cronenberg is Videodrome, Scanners, are movies that I have seen of his, but I don't really know whether or not. I mean, I suppose there's not, he's a very particular type of writer director, and so if you're interested in this stuff, I would say go see it. If not, then pass. And Jumanji is going away. That is a classic, so much better than Zathura, the kind of semi-sequel follow-up, and the late Robin Williams, always worth seeing,
right?
Okay, I can't with the 4th one, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. This is Nick Nolte, Richard Dreyfuss. I saw this. Oh my goodness! I was probably a teenager when I saw this the first time, and I remember really enjoying it for the kind of offbeat comedy, the things it represented. You know, this kind of hobo rags to riches story. I don't know if it would hold up. I kind of feel like it wouldn't. There's a note here. It was the first R-rated movie ever released by Walt Disney Pictures, so that's kind of interesting. Wow. Yes. So I guess that's interesting enough to get it on the list. Whether or not it's still a great movie, I don't know. And yeah, that's it. So I pulled 4 out of 10 that I would recommend. And the rest were garbage and made me open a bunch of tabs just to find that out. mostly not happy about that whole experience. And that's going to end my news stories. I think that's a good note to go out on, just a real down note.
Yes. And speaking of down note, kind of a meta news story is that Fandango has bought Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are wondering if that's going to affect Rotten Tomatoes, because Fandango is really a site about generating ticket sales. And so they have very positive reviews on their site. And very rarely do you see a movie that has lower than 3.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, I had not noticed.
Yeah, there was I can't remember what article or where I read it, but they were saying that, you know, they might kind of fudge the numbers a little bit because the main thing is, you know, they want you to buy tickets.
Right. That'll be interesting to see because I don't go to Fandango for reviews. I go to Fandango to buy my tickets.
Right.
You know, when we went to see Star Wars, I pre-bought my tickets at Fandango. And when we walked up to go see the movie, two people in front of us did not get tickets because it was already sold out, you know? And so that's why I go to Fandango. I'm going to a movie. I think it's going to sell out. I buy my tickets through Fandango. I don't go to Fandango for reviews.
Yeah.
And so they would be well served, not that they're ever going to hear this or listen to me, but they would be well served to not do anything to Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
I would imagine they bought Rotten Tomatoes so that their banner ads get more prominent display on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
If that's all they do, then they're winning. If they start messing with the numbers, then I won't be going to Rotten Tomatoes anymore for my review information.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just I'd be sad about it because we kind of use it during the show.
Yeah, no, you think we can't find another site that?
I'm sure.
Gives you a movie synopsis and the list of the actors.
Yeah,
I mean the only thing we get uniquely from Rotten Tomatoes is their Rotten Tomatoes score. Everything else, you know, is just, you know, general information that we can find anywhere.
But they have flawless movie descriptions. Come on.
Yeah, sure they do.
All right, now
we would have to do a little more work.
Yeah,
kill me.
Yeah, that's why they call it pod fading. I'm just kidding.
Nice. Rotten Tomatoes goes, I'm out. Can't make me do this anymore.
Yeah. All right, so, okay, now we're going to conclude this episode of Back to You Box Office. So, everybody, thank you for listening, especially to us two. Jackamoles or whatever you want to call us. Anyways, so have fun, go watch a movie, and Art, close the show out for us.
Good night, everybody. Go watch something and tell us about it.